And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
It was 1776 when the founders signed the writ of independence from the Brits. It was revolution. Now an enemy from within would enslave us all again and deprive us of our rights in the Constitution. Restore the Republic. Wake up, it's time to understand. Restore the Republic. We're losing our freedom in the land. Working from behind the scenes, controlling everything, from the daily news we read to the politicians. And they're pulling our financial strings, more powerful than kings. It's the central bank elite bringing our destruction. Restore the Republic. Wake up, it's time to make a stand. Restore the Republic. We are the people and we can. Restore the Republic. Pledge our allegiance to the flag. Restore the Republic. We gotta take the freedom back. America arises, it's time to open up our eyes and march back down the road to freedom. If we look the other way, they'll take our rights away. So we the people must seek freedom. Restore the Republic. Shoving taxes down our throats, bailing out banks we don't even owe. It's a ruination. They're invading our privacy with high technology, microchip in our ID. It's abomination. Restore the Republic. Wake up, it's time to make a stand. Restore the Republic. Spread the news across the land. Restore the Republic. Pledge our allegiance to the flag. Restore the Republic. It's time to take our freedom back. It's time to take our freedom back. It's time to take our freedom back.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you and welcome you to the Republic for the United States of America. It is 6 p.m. on Thursday, August the 1st, 2013. Welcome to the Republic for the United States of America. My name is Kelby. We've been doing these calls for a few years now. Basically, this has been an incredible journey. We have both good news and bad news this evening. We're going to get right into this evening because we've got to talk a lot. But before we do, I'd like to open the call in prayer. Janine, did you have anybody in mind?
Yes. Governor Owens, would you open the call in prayer, please? Governor Owens, can you hear me? Okay. Senator LaRue, would you open the call in prayer, please?
Sure. Can you hear me okay, Janine?
Yes. Thank you.
All right. Very good. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your great love for us. Father, for the way that you're moving throughout the United States and the world at this time to restore things, Father, to restore your kingdom to its rightful place throughout the world. Father, as we gather tonight, God, we ask that you bless us Father, with your Spirit, Father, for guidance, for knowledge, for discernment. Father, that your light will shine throughout the world. Father, bringing down the strongholds of the enemy. Father, in establishing your perfect will for all of us. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to serve you and to serve your people. And again, Father, we are so thankful for all that you do for us and all the things that you've purposed for us through your Son, Jesus. We give you all praise, all honor, all glory in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brett. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to do something I don't normally do. And I'm going to put a covering over the Republic really quick. I'm going to take Psalm 40 and I'm going to interpret the words me and I for our and us. Deliver us, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve us from violent men who plan evil things in their hearts. They continually gather together for war. They sharpen their tongues like a serpent. The poison of asp is under their lips. Keep us, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve us from violent men who have purposed to make our steps stumble. The proud have hidden a snare for us in cords. They have spread a net by the wayside, and they have set traps for us. I say to the Lord, you are our God. Hear the voice of our supplications, O Lord. O God, O Lord, the strength of our salvation. You have covered our head in the day of battle. Do not grant, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not further his scheme, lest they be exalted. As for the head of those who surround us, let the evil of their lips cover them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they rise up not again. Let not a slanderer be established in the earth. Let evil hunt violent man to overthrow him. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in awesome times. Absolutely awesome times. And in light of the recent news of our president, James Timothy Turner, being, in our opinion, fraudulently indicted by a corporation for political purposes, and then being slandered through the media to show that he is this horrible man, self-proclaimed president, which is a lie, writing fictitious instruments, which is a lie, to pay, to set off or discharge debt with it. If anybody knew any of the law at all, they would know that that's a lie. And he got railroaded in a trial, and they stand there in their evil ways, victorious, dancing as if they won something, giving due process of law. Now, it might sound like I'm a little scorned. I'm really not, because our God is a good God. And I believe for a long time, I've said this a long time ago, I don't believe he's going to be in there very long. I believe that the Lord is going to show his beautiful head against the ugly beast in a very short order. I think that this nation, people are standing up in the background and they're fed up with seeing how much evil has come about and taken over this nation. Now, we understand the structure and how this country is formed as a quote-unquote current democracy under military martial law rule. We understand that construct. And in that construct, the military leadership under a corporation is the power. But us as the United States of America, the Republic, the original, the de jure, formed in 1776 by brave men and women who forsook everything, actually has been re-inhabited. And Tim Turner was not a self-proclaimed anything. He was voted by the people, not a whole bunch, but 400 congressmen, senators across this nation got together and they put their vote together and they voted for their government. It wasn't a new government. It wasn't a taking over of a government. It wasn't an excising of an old government. It was the original de jure government re-inhabited that was vacated, we believe, under Abraham Lincoln. This nation that we have is so precious. They want to tell lies about people like Tim Turner because this is the most powerful thing that has happened on the face of this earth, because this government is for the first time ever. Remember, in 1776, no other country on the face of the earth had escaped the king's power. The only way that the king could maintain control was through usurpers, attorneys, people that were coming in influenced by large capital gains to put this country in a state of debt from the very beginning. It was a very intelligent move, in my opinion. We're not crazy. We're not people that are anything other than people that search the law front to back to make sure that what we do is in accordance to not only God's law, but man's law. We love this country so much so that we are willing to stand up and say what sounds to be profoundly crazy, but absolutely true, because we love this country. The fact is, a corporation, hundreds of thousands of corporations, sub-corporations, have taken over this country. And you have no power when you have a head of a corporation issuing color of law executive orders against the people, and they don't even realize that is not a lawful order. It is an executive order by a corporate president. Well, when the Republic kicked in 2010, we were the lawful body on the land. Of course they want to hit every door they possibly can to shut this down. Of course it means that it would possibly interfere with their power. I believe in my whole heart that God, the Elohim, Jehovah, Yahweh, and his son Yeshua, Jesus, are behind this Republic nation. And no matter what, we have a strong force of people that love their nation as much as I do, as much as Tim Turner does, as much as our acting president does. We're willing to sacrifice being slandered in the public, being slandered in the private, so that we can bring forth an opportunity for our children to have the same thing that we did growing up, so that this current administration doesn't throw everybody in jail because of either debt or what have you. Guys, we need to act quickly as a nation, and we need to turn this corner. Our president has sacrificed the ultimate sacrifice, and they're messing with him in jail like you wouldn't believe. And I'm going to ask everybody to understand that this is nothing that you can do at all. This is a light and dark issue, and that you include him in your prayers every single night, and that you include this republic in your prayers, and that you ask God for your personal forgiveness, that your prayers can be not hindered and heard. Janine, I yield the floor.
Thank you, Kelby. That is a perfect message of how we need to start the conversation this evening. Before we get back into that, we do need to take care of our regular business, and I'm going to ask Senator LaRue to give us an update from the Senate, and then we'll go to the House.
Thank you, Janine. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Kelby. Appreciate you, brother. We are we're searching for the truth, folks, and that's what we continue to do week after week in the Senate. We're digging up the rules, the things that have already been established by our founders, to find out what they did and how they did it, how it applies to the Constitution, so that we can be on firm ground, as Kelby has said on other calls, to establish our political jurisdiction properly for everybody to understand. And we're going to put together lessons to try to break this information down and prove to the people their proper standing before God and before the people of this nation, and to establish the government as a limited surrogate extension of the people for our good and for our benefit, rather than enslaving us. And so that's what we are about in the Senate. We are on a every 2-week schedule right now, and we're continuing to meet in our committees, and we're pulling together other committees so that we can confirm those folks that have been nominated to hold various positions, and we're grateful for their willingness to serve. And we invite everybody who has a heart, like Kelby and Janine and others on this call, to serve, to get involved, and to be a part of the solution. With that, I yield.
Thank you, Senator LaRue. And Speaker Rockwell, would you like to update from the House, please?
Yes, thank you, Janine. To give you a short update here, Kelby, I appreciate your words tonight. They were very, very fitting, and I'll go into more detail about that later on when I give kind of an update on what happened in court yesterday. But we, too, in the House are working on our committees. We have four committees that we currently have enacted, a committee on education and a committee on recruitment. And we're working on a joint ad hoc committee with the Senate on documentation. We just got that started this past week, and so it was good to meet with the Senate on that. And I'll yield to Representative Krasnowski for his update on the Rules Committee.
Representative, I do see him. Representative Krasnowski, can you hear us?
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Hi. Sorry.
It's all right.
I'm going to get my communications back online pretty soon.
Okay.
Rules Committee's coming along. We're having logistic problems, scheduling problems, getting everybody together, but we're going to, we keep working on things personally and through emails and that, and we're bringing it, when we bring it all together with God's help, it's going to be where we're supposed to be. And just going along with, we're just trying to get to the truth and get to what is right, like Senator LaRue pointed out. And I guess that's about it for me, and I yield.
Thank you so much. Before we do have Speaker Rockwell was in court on behalf of the president yesterday. Also, our Justice Pete Moak, which I'm going to be unmuting him here in a moment as well, was there, and others. And so we'll get their account of what happened yesterday. But before we do, Gene Hertler, would you please read Acting President Geiger's press release that was mailed out last night for us this evening?
I would be happy to do that. Thank you for the honor. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Thank you.
Thank you. This press release is from the desk of Acting President James Buchanan Geiger, the Republic for the United States of America, dated July 31st in the year of 2013, regarding President James Timothy Turner sentencing. Over the past 3 years, the Republic has endured many obstacles, much the same as our founding fathers faced some 230 years ago. In this regard, the saga of the struggle for true freedom and liberty for all Americans rests within our great Republic. We remain inspired by the stalwart perseverance of our forefathers' timeless endeavor, who met these obstacles head-on without wavering. So let us, too, be ever faithful to conquer the challenges set before us with no less commitment and zeal as those who set the standard for us. In these 3 years, we have overcome and endured many things with even less support and resources at times than our forefathers. However, because divine inspiration and providence of the Almighty has been on this republic, we have accomplished much. For those who remain faithful in the cause to restore its rightful place among the governments of this world, it is a calling of duty and love for all humanity. We have, by the immutable hand of our sovereign Lord, peacefully restored this republic and given all Americans a reason to hope for a future where justice is defined by its equal application to all instead of one's ability to pay. God is establishing once and for all this republic as that shining city on the hill, despite all of the efforts to the contrary. President James Timothy Turner has told us since we embarked on this journey that this cause to restore God's republic is not about one man. It is much larger than any one person. From the inception, the enemy of all creation has worked against those who have given of themselves to complete this sacred calling. He, the enemy, has tried to discourage, disrupt, and stop the work of liberty our Heavenly Father has placed in our hands. Our President, James Timothy Turner, along with the faithful, has stood and holds fast with undying devotion to this noble cause. Once again, we are being asked to stand firm and hold the wall because one of our own has been unjustly harmed. We must stand on what God says and not give way to fear and unbelief. I ask that all who love this cause to continue to stand peacefully in righteous indignation and to keep our hearts and hands clean. On Wednesday, July 31st, 2013, President James Timothy Turner was sentenced by the District Court of Alabama to a maximum 260 months, that's 21 plus years in prison, followed by 5 years of probation. He was further ordered to pay $26,200 in restitution to the Internal Revenue Service. This is far less than the 160 years that was sought by the prosecution. Please continue to pray that the will of God be purposed in this matter and stand as we have all been asked to do. This is not a battle that will be won with flesh and blood, but with fervent, effectual prayer. We have no reason to fear or retaliate against anyone. This is not what our president would want, nor do we condone. Keep President Turner and his family in your prayers, as I and my family will be doing. Place all of this in the Lord's very capable hands and see his great deliverance. God bless you all. God bless President Turner, and God bless the Republic for the United States of America. Respectfully and with a humble heart, James Buchanan Geiger, Acting President, Republic for the United States of America. That ends the reading.
Thank you so much, Jean, for reading that. We've been unsuccessful in trying to get Acting President Geiger connected to this call tonight. He is traveling, and our technology has not been on our side. So we'll let his press release speak for him this evening. Now I'd like to invite Speaker Rockwell back to the call. You were in the courtroom yesterday, and would you give us an account of what happened yesterday, Speaker Rockwell?
Yes, thank you. I was there. We entered the courtroom, myself, Gene Exum, Viv Gwynn, and Pete Moak, about a quarter to 10 yesterday morning, and President Turner was brought in shortly after that, and he was able to smile at his sister. She was there, plus his brother and a friend of his. They all three testified, and he smiled at his sister because I guess he had, I don't remember ever seeing it, but I guess he had a crooked tooth that was fixed while he was there, and he wanted to make sure that she had seen that. And just a little bit after 10 o'clock, Gene Exum headed out of the courtroom, and I noticed that he had dropped his name tag, so I thought, well, he needs to have that. He'll get in all sorts of trouble if he didn't have that on him. So I quickly followed him and gave that to him when I met up with him, and we both came back to enter the courtroom, and the judge had entered the courtroom, and they would not allow myself, Gene Exum, or President Turner's sister to return to the courtroom. But as a side note, there were a couple of attorneys and a marshal that were allowed to come in and out at will during the court proceedings when the judge was in the courtroom, but they would not allow us, the three of us, to go back in there because the marshal said that we would disturb the judge. And so, but it was a good thing that we were with President Turner's sister, because while we were out there, I was able to talk with her. And of course, being a blood relative at President Turner's, she was very emotional. She broke down. I was able to comfort her along with Jean, to where we gave her some support, which I think God wanted us to be there instead of being in the courtroom, because that was a good thing for her. And it gives a chance to talk to some of Tim's family. Well, then the judge did take a recess after about 45 minutes, so we were able to enter the courtroom. And right after we entered the courtroom was the time that we were to give our testimony. I gave testimony, and Viv Gwen did, also Pete Moak. And then, as I said, the President Turner's brother, John, and his sister, and one of President Turner's friends also gave testimony. And I was the first one to give testimony, and there was a little bit of confusion in the courtroom, which was, I guess, strange, maybe not. But during that time, they were trying to figure out what they were doing, and I wanted to give a hug to President Turner for Janine and myself. Instead of doing that, I was able to pat him on the back, and I got scorned by one of the marshals to don't touch the president. But he knows that we were there, and a touch is a very good thing, especially for the president right now. While I was giving my testimony, people that know me know that I can be lighthearted and have fun, and I was able to get the judge to smile at me when I was giving my testimony, and was able to shine a light in a dark place, which I didn't feel like it was as dark as it had been described to me. The people had been there before, and so that was a good thing. Then President Turner gave his testimony about why he felt like he was justified in what he did. When President Turner's sister and brother gave their testimony, it was very tearful and very upsetting to both of them. And the judge, seeing that, I really believe that he did have compassion on the president. After the testimony was given, he allowed the court to be in recess for about 20 minutes, and he allowed President Turner and his sister to be together and to talk for that 20 minutes. And he did have marshals around him, but they gave them free space to be able to talk intimately, which was a cool thing. And while we were there, I really felt the judge was trying his best to be as lenient as he could be on President Turner. And I think as the outcome came, as far as what he's gotten, I know it's horrendous, it's unjustified, but I believe it's far, far better than what they were originally trying to plan. And oddly enough, when the prosecution was given testimony, which they were rehashing old things that happened in the trial, they kept on cutting down the amount that that they said that that President Turner had, quote, defrauded. So in all intents and purposes, the prosecution was trying to help Tim out too, which I don't think that they really were meaning to, but I think God's hand was in that to have that happen. And while we were there, the judge took about four recesses to figure out what he was going to sentence. So it was not an easy decision for him. I think he really labored over it very hard and very long. And when I got there, I felt good about being there. And when I left, I felt the same way. This Monday, this past Monday, there was a prophecy given that the first judge in this trial would pronounce sentence, and the second one would dismiss everything. And the more that I thought about that, the first judge was the judge that was there yesterday, and the second judge is the judge that's going to hear the appeal. So, and that came from more than one source. So I believe that our president will be with us very soon. And on my way home today, I was reflecting on my day yesterday, and it was really hard to leave Tim there, knowing that he had to go back in into the jail. It's hard to leave the fine people that I met yesterday that testified, and it's just an emotional thing for me. I appreciate you listening to what I had to say, and with that, I yield.
Thank you, Speaker Rockwell. And Justice Smoak, I have your line unmuted. Would you give us your account of yesterday as well?
Okay. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you, Justice Smoak.
Yes. Well, it was the first thing that really caught my eye was the president. He was thin. It looked like he had just been to the point of exhaustion. We really need to hold him up. We need to hold up Tim Turner, the man. In our prayers, not just the whole process, of course, of you know, going through this and the appeal, but I was quite taken. He had really lost a lot of weight, and we all need to band together and believe for strength to come back upon him. But yes, he conducted himself. He had, so to speak, book, chapter, and verse. Laws and this law and that law and this Supreme Court ruling. I mean, he was still yet sharpened on his game. And I don't believe I ever heard either the judge or the prosecution ever say, no, that's wrong. On everything he said, he was quoting laws and citations, and of course they both had their computers and they were following along, and there was a screen. I was, of course, peeping around at it, and when they'd pull it, that President Turner would say something and they would pull this citation up, and not one time did anybody say, no, that's not true. President Turner had his facts straight. He had it there. The judge several times, just more for lack of better words, just told the prosecution, now that's ridiculous. On some of the things on the bonds, he says, now you and I know that's not right. One time he told him, now I don't take that serious now, counsel. Don't forget, when they started this thing, they started it out that, you know, we were all a bunch of violent, horrible people that were just about to blow up the whole world. You know, that's where they started with this. So whenever we were there, unlike the first time there were police everywhere. I mean, it was crawling with them. Soldiers, they had to, you know, tell them that we were all a bunch of horrible people and you got to watch out for us. And there was no outside police at all whatsoever whenever we were there. We walked all around the building. We didn't see any outside armed guards on the outside at all. So that was at least kind of refreshing that maybe they learned a little bit about us. From 160 plus years down to 20 years is a big reduction, but it's not a victory to me. We want to see this whole thing completely go away. And the President Turner yesterday filed for the appeal. He and his assistants of counsel was there, and they filed the papers for their appeal. So it's not over with. We wish we could have just drove him home with us, but we weren't able to. But I believe that that the appeal will be successful. And like I said, the thing that really stuck with me, let's be sure and hold up Tim Turner, the man, that the Lord will renew his strength, that he will mount up with wings as eagles, and that you know, his health will stay good, because this has got to be truly exhausting. And truthfully, I don't know of any other person that could have gone through and done what this man has done. And I've got even more respect for him now than I ever had. So unless there's anything further, with that, I yield. Thank you very much.
Janine?
Yes, sir.
I omitted a few things that I think are very important.
Okay.
Pete didn't touch on them, but I want to. The first thing is, when I was outside the courtroom, I couldn't be in the first part of it, but I could see in. And when the judge sat down and started the court proceedings, the first thing he told the marshals to do was to take off his handcuffs. And I know during the trial, that didn't happen. And that was huge as far as I'm concerned. The second item that I wanted to mention was during the testimony that President Turner gave, he turned to both prosecution attorneys and told them, "Every day I pray for you," and he specifically said their name. He turned to the judge and said, "I pray for you every day," and specifically said his name, and that is our president. I yield.
Yes, that is our president. So Kelby, we're at now. What I'm going to do is we have a panel of people on here. I just want to open this up so we can have a discussion about moving forward with the Republic. And we've made a commitment not only to ourselves and our republic, but and our president, but a lot of us have taken oaths, and we need to continue to honor that. So Governor Owens, Governor Anzaldi, Senator LaRue, Governor Glavin, whoever would like to speak first, we need to have this conversation. Governor Owens, I'm going to unmute your line. Okay, something's going on with his line. Governor Owens. Okay. Governor Anzaldi, let's go ahead and see what we can do with your line, because Dan is not unmuting.
Can you hear me?
Oh, now I can.
Yeah, I think I was unmuting myself while you were unmuting me.
Oh, okay. I thought they were messing with us again.
No, we were messing with us.
Okay.
Well, yes, Janine, thank you very much. Appreciate you asking me to speak. In the different communications that we've received from President Turner over the past few months, this has been a theme that he has given to us. Number one was, to pray for him, but to pray for God's will through this whole process. And then the next thing, probably the most important that I think he said all along, has been to stand. He has never once given up on the Republic. He's never once given up on us. Despite what has taken place here, we can't. We've taken an oath to support and defend the Constitution, to support this Republic. And we need to honor that oath, and we need to honor him in that same way. We need to honor a man who has been willing to sacrifice everything here. And I see the Republic moving forward. And even though our numbers are few, the strength and the understanding of where we are and where we need to go and what we are doing is increasing. And our understanding is increasing, and the Lord has not had the last say over this yet, and he will. As we know, the corporation is crumbling, despite what they want to show us on the evening news or in any of the media. They are crumbling. We need to stand to be in place. So that's really what I want to say, is that we need to stand, honor our oath, and honor our president.
Thank you, Governor Owens. And we have Acting President Geiger with us now. We're able to get him pulled into the call. Acting President Geiger, can you hear me?
Yes, Janine. Thank you.
Thank you. We read your press release that was sent out last night about the president, and John Rockwell, the speaker, has given his account of yesterday, and so has Justice Moak. So now we are at a point where we want to talk about moving forward with the Republic and honoring our commitment to President Turner.
Yes, and I would just stand on what's been said already and remind everybody that that we've accomplished in law what we need to accomplish, and all we really need to do is continue to stand and occupy our positions. You know, we've heard of Occupy Wall Street. Well, we've already occupied the de jure government of this country, and when it comes time, and when we show ourselves approved, if you would, then the keys of the kingdom will be handed to us. It's as simple as that. And we stand upon the shoulders of great men like our President Turner. And that will never change. That's written down in history. And as we come into the fall, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's an act of 1792 that addresses the elections, and it allowed for a two-year period. But anyway, so we're going to be looking at elections this fall, and using the system that the Constitution called for. And up and until the next president is sworn into office, if President Turner is released, in my opinion, he will still be the president, up until there's another president that's sworn in as the president. You know, I'm the acting president right now because of my position in the Senate, but I'm not the president, if you would. And so there's going to need to be an election held this fall, and Janine, as the acting Secretary of State, will make the proper notifications and plenty of time for the states to do what they need to do and get their assemblies together, their electoral college system together, so we can have those elections. But there'll be more said about that as we get closer to that time period. But just bear in mind, that's something that's got to be done as we move forward. And that'll give us opportunity to include much more of the American population and try to get them involved in the election process. So we have a lot to look forward to. We have a lot of work ahead of us. We don't need to forget that we stand upon the work of a great man, James Timothy Turner. And it's been a blessing to know him. It's been a blessing to know such a man of faith and courage. And I really have never met somebody of his caliber in my whole life before, just to tell you the truth. So in my opinion, it's a shame and a travesty what's been done to him. But that's besides the point. As far as the Republic is concerned, we have our standing in law, and we will continue to move forward in law that our forefathers instituted for us, and that's beyond question that we will do that. So I will yield at this time, and thank you all for giving me a little bit of leniency. As you know, I have a new grandson in the family, so we have a grandbaby in the Republic, if you will. That's part of the reason why I'm a little bit late getting on the call tonight. Anyway, I'm sure I have your leniency for that, and I yield.
Thank you, Acting President Geiger. Governor Inzoldi?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you, Governor.
Oh, you're welcome. First of all, I want to say thank you to all my brothers and sisters, brave brothers and sisters on this call, I may add. I would also like to say, even though what happened yesterday in court with our president, we know that it was unlawful, but I would like to say that I am in peace with it because in my heart, I know that the president will be exonerated. I'm not exactly sure when. I know it's coming very soon, but I do know that it will happen. And I've been keeping a close eye on world news to see sort of what is going on, what other people, what other countries are thinking. And sure enough, as I scour all of these worldly events, I see that the president was given a great write-up last week, and they clearly stated that he is a political prisoner, which we know. Not because he has done anything wrong, and I concur with our acting president that it has been my honor to know him. But what they said was he was a political prisoner, and his photo was featured right above John F. Kennedy, which I deemed appropriate. The other thing that I would like to say is I noticed that the Star of David had shown on the 29th, which was the date that our president was actually supposed to go to trial or to be sentenced. So I thought that was a very strange situation and apropos, if I may say. And then yesterday there was a huge splash about the president that the Republic has been restored. They clearly were referring to us, stated that all of the election had taken place and that many people were asking questions about do we have officers in place, do we have governors, do we have all sorts of things. The questions were answered beautifully, and it said that we are the restored republic, and it went on to explain our history and how we did restore it. Many of us have been in this from the beginning. They even went on to say how all governors had been served March 29th in 2010, and basically they acquiesced. And if I'm sure many of us in this on this call right now are watching closely as to what is happening, I know that we figure this to be a three-year from this period, transition period, but I think this is coming because I noticed that sort of forget about what you're seeing on the news because I know behind the scenes no one is buying bonds, so states, municipalities do not have money, their cash flow to pay out their employees and however they prefer to do business. I also heard and read that there are no more new prison contracts to be built. They've all been canceled because prison bonds are basically tanking. So I just feel that, you know, the president often spoke about all of these different factions crumbling at once. It really is happening. I ask that we stand together, shoulder to shoulder, just be patient, be kind, be understanding, and just be the people that you are right now, which is the reason that we have been successful. I ask that all of us go in peace, keep our brethren in mind, and be who you are. And on that note, I yield. Thank you very much.
Janine?
Yes, Justice Moak.
Just to add what Governor Inzoldi said, that whole compound there, other than the people that were working, just a few working there, it really did look deserted. I honestly think that President Turner's case was the only thing going on there at the entire facility. The whole place looked, for lack of a better word, dead. So there was certainly not much business going on there, and that was a huge facility. Okay, with that I yield.
Thank you. Governor Glavin, we'd like to hear from you as well.
Thank you, Janine.
Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. I'd just like to take a few minutes. I'm sure there's probably a number of people in the Republic that, you know, are disappointed with the course of events. But I guess I'd like to just speak a few words of encouragement. I had the good fortune of speaking with the president just a few days ago, and he was in tremendous spirits. And I heard what Chief Justice Smoke spoke about his weight loss, but in speaking with the president, he sounds strong. He's very, very clearly states that he's doing great. In fact, if I didn't know any better, I'd figure he's somewhere in the Caribbean on a beach somewhere. His spirits are so good. Just very, very impressed and just an incredible man of integrity. And as he said numerous times, both in telephone conversations and in letters, you know, don't pray for my release, pray for God's will. And he's that's what he sticks to. Ever since I've known him, all the years I've known him, all he has ever talked about is his desire to do God's will and God's will alone, irrespective of the circumstances or how it affects him. How many people do we know that prays like that? How many people do we know that undergoing the circumstances and the treatment that he's been undergoing unjustly in the court would publicly state to the attorneys that are prosecuting him and the judge that's sentencing him that he is praying for them every day? This is just one of many testaments that I have personally witnessed about our president that clearly emphasize that he is not only an incredible godly man, but a man that Almighty God clearly anointed for this task and leading us in the restoration of the Republic. You know, one of the things that I think many of us had stated and believed prior to his trial and his conviction and prior to his sentencing is that it didn't matter what they said, what they did, if they convicted him, if they sentenced him, how long they sentenced him, because Almighty God is in charge, and we know that. So whether it's the president is released based upon a successful appeal or some other miraculous circumstances, it doesn't matter. I know there are many people that I talk to that are standing and are very, very staunch supporters of this republic and of our president that know that the president, one way or another, will be exonerated and released from prison. One thing also to kind of keep in perspective, I think, is the witness that many of us have had of our president that gives further confirmation of his calling and what he's, you know, what he's been brought forth to do. And some of you probably are aware of these instances, but, you know, there's probably some people on the call that are not, and I just want to reiterate some of the things that have transpired since we started this republic back in 2010. If our republic was of no significance and our president was of no significance, what transpired after just a few weeks after we had served the governors back in 2010, when a agent from the de facto government approached him and bribed him with an astronomical amount of money in order to get him to step away from the republic, would never have happened. And I remember very vividly and very clearly the words our president stated back to that individual when they offered him this money to step away and basically just to disappear. And he said, so basically what you're asking me to do is to sell my soul. And he says, I won't do that. And he knew that he would be selling his soul because he knew very clearly that God had called him to do what he's doing. And he has reiterated that many times since that time and even since he has been incarcerated. He knows that God is not finished with him. After saying that to the de facto agent, the agent responded to him and said, well, you know what our next offer is going to be, don't you? And he says, yes, I have a pretty good idea. And it wasn't but a few weeks after that when they sent five mercenaries to try to assassinate him. Now, I ask everybody on this call, once again, if what our president was doing and what we were doing within this republic was of no significance, would they go to these lengths to try to stop him and to try to stop us? There have been many, many miraculous circumstances that have surrounded the republic, testimonies that I could give myself, countless testimonies that the president has given since I've known him, and countless testimonies that many other people, some of whom I know and some of whom I don't know, since we started in this republic. So it's imperative that everybody really understands how important and how powerful this republic is. And whether it's tomorrow, next week, or next month, you can rest assured the president will definitely be back with us. With that, I yield.
Thank you so much, Governor Glavin. I do want to give an opportunity to Jean Hertler and her husband, David, if he's with you there. Jean, I know that you are very close to the president, and you also received a call from him Sunday evening. Did you have anything you'd like to say this evening, Jean?
Thank you, Janine. Yes, I've had the honor and privilege to have a few phone conversations with him through the months, and I also correspond with him when he's able. I send mail to him a few times a week. I keep him abreast of current events, alternative news sources, and so forth. I love the man. I love the Lord. My husband and I are absolutely surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. We live surrendered lives, and we're faith walkers. When we met, or when we came to know about the Republic in December of 2010, and we were privileged to watch the YouTube of the president at Utah, David and I both wept. We saw the anointing on him, and we knew right away that we were called to this, that this was a work of God. We didn't understand everything, but through the months and as we've gone along, the Lord has shown us that we used to hope that the rapture theory was true, but we've come to see and understand as serious students of the Word of God, and I've been interested in eschatology for many years and a serious student of it. We understand that God is establishing his government on the earth, and it's through the republic. And it preempts establishing his kingdom on the earth. And we know that he wants us to do this work, and it's been a very hard work. It's been long hours, as many of you know what the work has been, but we've been given to it because we see God in it. When we had the privilege of meeting the president in person, you can look in his eyes and see Jesus in his soul. There's something different about this man, and I love him with a pure love. There is, He's a man of God. And I had a recent conversation with him. They blocked him from calling many of his people in the Republic. And I had the honor to be able to have a connection with him. He's very strong. There's nothing wavering about this man. And when he said that they were threatening him with 179 years, and I said to him, "Oh, no, brother, God is going to release you," he almost chuckled, and he said, "I know that, Gene. God is going to set me free." He knows that God's hand is on him, that he is called and anointed for this task. He knows that he has a purpose and a plan, and he knows that our God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, is at work for the end of this age, and we're about to go into the next millennium, and he has a purpose in that. So I think that that's all that I have to say on that. It's just the testimony that this man is not a wimp. He may have lost a lot of weight. I did ask him about his weight. He told me that he's at about 185 pounds. I'm not sure of his height, but he's trim. And I told him he's going to look really good suited up. And he just chuckled at that. So with that, I'll yield.
Thank you so much, Gene. Others on the host code with us tonight, I want you to have that opportunity. Representative Krasinowski, Brenda Owens, I'm not sure if I've missed anybody, but please, if you would like to say something this evening, you're welcome.
Janine, this is Jim.
Yes, sir.
A thought that occurred to me, I thought I would share with everybody. Just as a side note, I was speaking with one of the witnesses after they had testified, you know, during the trial. President Turner's trial, and this witness happened to be a county sheriff down in Florida, and I was, you know, we were talking about Tim, and the sheriff volunteered to me. He said, "Tim Turner's the toughest man I've ever met."
That's right.
So that's who they're dealing with, and so that's. That's really the truth. He is a tough man, but he's also very soft-hearted. So he has a heart, a servant of the people and a servant of the Lord. I yield.
Thank you. I do believe he did tell us all early on to cowboy up. So, Representative Krasinowski, did I see you come in?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Hi there. I can now.
Okay, well, I've been reflecting on some thoughts, and first of all, I want to say that President Turner is a good man, and you know, when I met him, I could tell that God's hand was on him, and still is. He has his purpose. He knows what he has to do. And we all need to do the same. You know, like you said, the one word that's been coming to me for the longest time, well before I even got into the Republic, was we have to stand. Stand, stand, stand. That's been in my heart for a long, long time. I know God's brought me to this. You know, I tell everybody, you know, I was... pretty much God dragged me here kicking and screaming because I really, you know, I was headstrong and I wanted to, I had other plans to do other things, and I was pretty much guided in my life situation where I ran into the people that introduced me and got me going in the Republic, and when I learned about what the Republic was about and the history and everything, and you know, I understood this for a long time, what was going on. and it made a lot of sense to me. So that's why I joined up. And although I'm not seeking it, I seem to be getting responsibilities placed on my shoulders, and you know, I'm glad to do it if it's for God. So our forefathers, when they put this country together, they fought for this country, and they pretty much they pledged their, you know, this is what comes to my heart too, and it's on my mind a lot. They pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. And when I joined the Republic, I did the same, as many of us did. And you know, I intend to honor that. It's a pledge I made, and it's an oath I took. And like many of us that have taken oaths to support the Constitution in this country, in the Republic, and that's, you know, we're going to do that. And as I look around, Governor Inzaldi also brought that up. You know, I see a lot of signs around the world. Other people in other countries know what's going on, and the public here is not being informed about a lot of things, a great many things. I talk with people around the world, and they know things sometimes weeks before, if ever, we're told here in this country what's going on. And it's just more proof that, you know, why what we need to do, because I really feel that there is a great evil gaining power in this country, and it's going to cover the earth. You know, this country was the shining light for the world for many years since its inception, and now there's a possibility that it can be turned to the opposite and be a great darkness that's going to take hold, and we have to prevent that. And that's about all I have on my heart right now. And thank you for letting me speak. I yield.
Thank you, Representative Krasinowski. I think the last one that's with me here is Brenda Owens. Brenda, would you like to offer anything this evening? I've got your line unmuted.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, thank you. Good evening, everybody. I look at this in a spiritual way, and I just look at the fact that we have had many things happen. Dan and I are newer into the Republic than a lot of you, but since we've been in, it seems like there's been thing after thing after thing to try and bring down and destroy the Republic. And, you know, if we were insignificant, why would they go to all the bother? And, you know, I just want to encourage everybody that God is still in control. And when I say that, it doesn't mean that everything that happens is necessarily something he wants to happen. He works with us. He co-works with us. If he didn't need us or didn't work with us, you know, he would just, I don't know why we'd even be here once we, you know, came to him. But I just want to encourage everybody that we love him very much, and we're not going to forget about him. And like others have said, it's not over with. God does have the final say. And I just remind everybody that, you know, God does give full disclosure to the evil people also. He gives disclosure to the wicked. He tells them what will happen. And he gives them a chance, too. And I think their cup of iniquity is probably running over at this point or real close to it. And when that happens, God does say in his word that he deals with them. But I just want to encourage everybody just to, you know, continue to hold strong and seek God. And, you know, we need him to pull this off, even if the president was, you know, here, right here with us right now. So we need him no matter what. So you know, I'm not giving up, and I just encourage everyone just to stay strong. And with that, I yield.
Thank you, Brenda. Kelby, we are over our hour. I don't know if you wanted to offer more. You know, you had such a great opener, but now that we've heard everything today, if you wanted to have any final closing statements on that.
Yeah, thank you, Janine.
Thank you.
You know, as I listen to the hearts of really the true leaders in the nation, people that have a heart for the people. One quick story about TT. We're all talking about him like he's dead. He's not dead. He's actually pretty healthy, it sounds like. I went and visited a buddy after he got out of prison doing 18 months. He said it was the best thing that ever happened to him. And I asked him why. It's because his whole life changed. And God became the priority. And as we all see, Tim already had God in his life prior. And since he's been in, it's all about God. And it's almost like Paul, where you're watching people get converted, like the house of Caesar. I just want people to understand Tim is absolutely the strongest willed man I know. He's stubborn. And that's why God anointed him to go through what he's going through. And they're all the leaders that we know in the Old Testament have gone through horrible, hard things before God really used them. And TT, our president, is no different. Here's the quick story. They call me Kelby the chiropractor because I adjust people. I don't know why I'm good at it, but no, I don't have a license, and I do give a disclosure prior to adjusting, but I don't hurt people. That guy's back is the most solid, weird feeling back I have ever felt in my life. I could not move.
Oh, Kelby's line dropped off. Oh, I'm so sorry. I wanted to hear that story. I know that he is on his cell phone in his car this evening, so maybe he can come back in. Well, we're waiting on Kelby to come back in. One thing I do want to remind us all is, you know, many times the president has said not to poke the bear and certainly not to be violent. Oh, Kelby, are you back with us?
I am, and I'll cut it short.
Okay.
I almost thought it was weird, guys, to work on this man's back, and I don't want to put him in a position that he's not. He's a man. But throughout the entire Word of God, very unusual men, strong men of God, faithful men of God, have been used because nothing more than their faith in God. Tim has a huge faith in God, and we should be absolutely proud that he is our president, even in this position where he's at. And I thank God to hear that he is praying for the people that are persecuting him, because that heap that they are doing to him is now going to be poured on them. With that, I yield.
Thank you, Kelby. And what I did want to read tonight is, you know, at the bottom of our Republic News Network email that gets sent out, and on our national site when people join us on the opt-in registration form, we have a disclaimer. And the disclaimer reads, "The people of the free states and union, people, do not now, nor have we ever supported any intent of overthrowing the all-capital United States Municipal Corporation acting as a government. The people are not, quote, sovereign citizens, as defined by the all-capital United States and Homeland Security. We are peaceful, nonviolent, and advocate peaceful, nonviolent methods to restore and maintain a lawful constitutional republican form of government. I.e., we would never advocate or take part in the kidnapping of or violence against any public official. Nor do we affiliate with any hate groups, nor would we participate in any terrorist attack against the U.S. corporate government or any public or private official. We love our fellow man, America, its people, and the republic for which our flag stands. We observe the greatest commandment, namely, that we love God and love our fellow man. We believe that the rule of law should be applied justly and equally to all, both small and great, without regard to race, gender, color, financial status, handicap, or religious affiliation. We show tolerance and respect to corporate law enforcement officers, even when these officers, through lack of knowledge, may violate or infringe upon our unalienable guaranteed liberties. We are not tax protesters or the like. We believe in conducting our commerce and the business of republic governance in the open, not in secret meetings. We hold that the people intend to research actual law as well as applicable case law. We intend on attending as many seminars, meetings, and lectures as possible given by law professors, lawyers, and the like in order to learn the proper interpretation of law. We are willing to assist any local, state, or national leaders, such as governors, congressmen, senators, or representatives, in coming to a clearer understanding of their constitutional duties and obligations to the American people. That ends that reading of the disclaimer. And that truly is what we are about. And this, we want to make sure that we discourage anyone from retaliating or acting in any violent way whatsoever. President Turner has preached this from day one, that we are not a violent group, and we need to maintain that. And with that, we've gone way below. I'm going to ask Kelvin, if you're still with us, would you give us a closing prayer this evening, and then we'll let these people go. Can you hear me, Kelvin? Okay, his line did not work. So, Jean Hertler, would you like to close the call in prayer this evening?
It would be an honor.
Thank you.
Father, you are God of all. We acknowledge that you are the maker of the heaven and the earth, that time is in the earthly realm and not in heaven. But you've set up ages, and we acknowledge that we're coming to the close of this age, and you're still God. We know that you've made the day and you've made the night. We thank you, Father, for the air that's in our lungs. And as long as we have breath to breathe, Lord, we will praise you, worship you, and we will not be intimidated to mention your name. Thank you, Father, that you have a plan. It's to prosper us. Thank you, Father, that your hand is on James Timothy Turner. Thank you, Father, that what man has ruled as his sentence is the sentence that you've ruled on those men. Thank you, Father, that James Timothy Turner will be released and he will lead according to your plan. Thank you, Father, that your hand is on his family, on his wife, on all that he loves, and that includes us. Thank you, Father, that we can trust you with his life. And, Lord, we praise you because you are ruling and caring over this land and its people. And that you will see the fruit of the blessing on all the families of the earth, and that we get to be a part of that. We praise you, Lord Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, because you are Lord. You are Lord of the earth, and you are Lord of this country. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Jean. Good night, everyone. Have a great week. It's time to roll up our sleeves and continue building our republic. See you next Thursday.
the twilight last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. Oh, the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. Can the rockets tremble? The bombs must get